because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed on this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Late here this morning. I'm having one of those moments that I have every once in a while as I come walking down the steps into our multi-million dollar studio. The Holy Spirit taps me on the shoulders. I got up this morning early, about 5:15 I was up this morning, and I do a lot of show prep. And so I get a show all designed and ready to go, and it's happened to me more times than not that when I start down those, I don't know what you would call those steps, and I come down the steps to the studio, boy, the Holy Spirit sometimes whiffs me in the face, and that happened to me this morning. And so I'm trying to scramble here a little bit to figure out how I can take what I just heard from the Lord and apply it. Listen, folks. Listen to me. It isn't woo, 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 I heard from the Lord, okay? There's nothing special about me. In fact, I would say this. Many of you are hearing from the Lord, but you don't recognize his voice. I'm going to stop right there a second. The Lord doesn't just speak to me. If you're one of his children, he speaks to you. But sadly, you don't recognize the voice. Why don't you recognize the voice? Because you don't always answer the phone when it rings. When the Holy Spirit speaks to you, you don't acknowledge it. And because you don't acknowledge it, ever go someplace and everybody's in the room and you're in one way and all of a sudden a cell phone starts ringing over maybe on another dresser or someplace like that and you don't even react to it. Why? Because that's not your phone. You recognize the ring. You recognize your ring. If somebody sent me a message right now, somebody texted me a message right now, and you guys will hear my text message announcement. Somebody just anything. Just text me a letter. So if I'm sitting out with a bunch of people and my phone goes off, come on, I'm waiting for somebody to do it. Now I'll get 50 of them. Now I'll get 100 of them. Do it again. Oh, there. Somebody else do it. Mark Trump just sent me one. Send another one, Mark, because my sound's not very good on my phone. I'm doing a point. You guys hear that? So when I'm in a room and I hear that, I know that was my phone. My wife's phone has a different. All right, I get it. All right. My wife's phone's got a different sound to it. Hear that? That tells me somebody's texted me. I don't know who it is, but I know it was directly to me. It's on my phone. I don't go answer my wife's texts. In fact, I yell out there, honey, got a text. Somebody's texting you. Right? Do you recognize the voice of the Lord? Do you recognize and respond to the Holy Spirit like that, like you do to a text? Do you immediately know that sound? Say, ooh, whew, I heard that voice. So this idea, see, we fall into this trap. By the way, thanks for all the texts. We fall into this trap all the time where we think somebody is far more spiritual and holy than we are. Folks, that just isn't true. The Lord is no respecters of persons. And we all have different giftings and different talents and skills and things that we operate in and ways that we move. And in him we live and breathe and have however that scripture goes. But we all got a text line to the Lord. And the trouble is many of you don't answer the text because you don't recognize it as yours. Say, Coach, what are you trying to say? I'm just trying to say, listen, there's nothing special. Nothing special about what I'm saying to you or about me or about a revelation that I got from the Lord. I just recognize the sound of his voice. And then when I recognize the sound of his voice, I stop and I do what the Bible tells us to do, to meditate on. So, Lord, what was that? You guys do that? Do you know his voice? Do you stop? And when the Lord sends you a text, do you stop long enough to read it? or you just continue going on what you do. In fact, you guys will notice sometimes during the show, I'll look down because I just heard a text and I'll look down and see what it says. Because somebody might be saying something to me like, Stephanie texted me. Somebody else just texted me again. It might be important. So it might be something during the show. So here's what I do. Somebody texts me. I look down and I said, oh, that's Trump. Okay. Right? So I want to make this really, really clear. Really, really clear. Nothing special about me and my anointing. I mean, there may be something unique about my anointing, but there's nothing. Oh, stop it already, Joseph. What's this say? Joseph, I know when I was walking down the stairs, I was praying, but that was going to make Joseph taking credit for it. We have to become sensitive to hear his voice. And I'm going to tell you, you will become more sensitive the more you acknowledge you heard it. Sometimes I just say, Lord, I heard that, Lord. I heard that. Now, I don't know what it means yet, Lord, but I heard it. I'm just acknowledging I heard it. And it happened to me when I was coming down the steps. I got the text message from the Lord. Not really, but I felt it in my spirit. With me? Is it making sense? And so I just pray that all of you would get to the point where you recognize that text message, that unique sound, respond accordingly to it. Sometimes all you have to say is, I heard it, Lord. I don't know what it means yet, Lord, but I heard it. And I want you to know that I heard it, I'm listening, and I'm taking it into consideration. And I'm going to trust you that you're going to explain to me what it was. So I was coming down the steps. Man. See, this kind of blows the whole show because I had a good show plan. This wasn't part of it. But the Lord just kind of gave me a new one. I got a couple messages in the last couple, 3 days from people who are watching Coach Dave live, part of the huddle. It just totally blew me away. I thought, are you kidding me? Him? You mean all those seeds I planted 20 years ago? Are you kidding me? It happened to me about 3 or 4 times in the last 24 hours. People who, as I say, picking up what I'm laying down. Oh, there it is again. See, it's going to go on all morning now. Probably if I turn the sound off, it wouldn't hear it. And you know what I got to thinking about? Anybody who would support Kamala Harris has lost their stinking mind. They've lost their stinking mind. And I've come to this realization. Here's where I'm going. Stay with me. Hey, folks, we're the normal ones. We're the normal ones.
Amen, Coach.
They're not the normal ones. Hey, folks, those who are in touch with and filled with the Spirit of God, we're the normal ones. We are the normal ones operating in a lost world. We are surrounded by darkness and confusion everywhere we look. We're the normal ones. But we don't think we are. And you would all would admit, I know that how refreshing it is when you come across and find a true believer. See, when people say to me they're Christian, doesn't mean anything to me anymore. It really doesn't mean anything to me anymore when they say that. When I come across a true believer, my spirit leaps that I've found somebody who's connected, right? I say, Coach, where are you going? Stay with me. I'm going to try to get us there. I like, as you know, I like to get on Facebook and like to put memes out on Facebook. I like to cause people to think. I don't like to get on Facebook and argue. I use it to challenge people, to get them to think, maybe to bring new information to them. And I love when I post a meme on there and then watch how people reveal themselves as in tune with the Spirit or not in tune with the Spirit. People who understand, people who don't understand. It's so easy to sit back and see who gets it and who doesn't get it. Who's woke and who's not woke. Who's alive and who's dead. Who's walking by the Spirit and who's not walking by the Spirit. Who are really filled with the Spirit of God and who are dead men walking. Facebook reveals that to me all the time. I love it. I love it. So I was struck today when I was coming down the steps, and the Holy Spirit said to me, "You're peculiar." That's what the Holy Spirit said to me. "You're peculiar." I stopped, said, "What?" Mike, pull up 1 Peter. 1 Peter 2, actually. I sent you the link. "You're peculiar." Well, he only said it to me once. But I actually stopped and responded and said, "Huh? Remember, my sheep hear my voice. They hear my voice." So I responded to it, said, "What? Huh? Peculiar." And then I got thinking, peculiar is it's not a good term, is it? If somebody says to you, "You're peculiar," you may not even know what that word is, but you wouldn't like it. So, "Oh, that coach, he's peculiar. That Jeff Klein, he's peculiar." You would take it almost as an insult, wouldn't you? But I knew that the Bible said that I was peculiar. Stay with me. So I dug in real quick when I sat down after coming down the studio. I went real quickly to peculiar, found it 1 Peter chapter 2. It says, "Wherefore, laying aside all malice and guile and hypocrisy." Well, I could preach right there. What if you would just lay aside all hypocrisies? What if we just started there? "And envies and all evils." Boy, there's a treatise on Christianity, isn't it? Let's lay aside, let's stop it with all the malice and all the guile and all the hypocrisies and all the envies and all the evil speakings. Let's stop all that and let's go back and act like we're newborn babies. And let's just go after the sincere milk of the word that we might be able to grow. Hey guys, can you lay down all those all that malice and all that guile and all those hypocrisies and all those envies and all the evil speakings? Can you guys stop that? Just like newborn babies, start over. Says, "If so be have tasted that the Lord is gracious." If you do that, you're going to find out the grace of the Lord. "To whom coming as unto living stones, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious." He says, "You also, as lively stones, are built up into a spiritual house and a holy priesthood." Who? Us! "To offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, 'Behold, I lay in Zion, chief cornerstone,'" that's Jesus, "elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. And to you therefore which believe, he is precious, but unto them which be disobedient." Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious, but unto them which be disobedient, "and the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and the stumbling block. Jesus is a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed." What's this? "You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people." I'm peculiar. Any may like me. Mike, he's peculiar. Mark Trump's peculiar. Why? "That you should show forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." See, that's part of it, folks. Some of you haven't come out of the darkness yet. You've been called out of it. You've been called out of that darkness. But you're not totally and completely into his marvelous light. "Which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now we've obtained mercy. Dear to beloved, beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against your soul. Have your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers," woo, "that may be your good works, which they shall behold glorify God in the day of visitation." Then it gets into some other stuff. Hey, Mike. So I went to Mr. Webster. I said, Mr. Webster, what's it mean to be peculiar? Because you would agree with me, most of you out there, wouldn't you, that it's not a good thing? Boy, is he peculiar. Well, it's because we don't understand. Yeah. Stephanie says she's a poster child of peculiar. Did you hear my phone go off? You hear that? That's like the Holy Spirit, right? Huh? What's it say? Peculiar. Is it a bad word? Peculiar, a bad word? No, Mr. Webster said peculiar is appropriate. Belonging to a person, him only. Almost every writer has a peculiar style. Most have manners peculiar to themselves. I don't know anybody like Mark Trump. I don't know anybody like him. It's peculiar. I don't know anybody like Bob Evans. I don't know anybody like Joe Allen. Two. Singular. Particular. The man has some peculiar in his deportment, some unique qualities. Number three, particular and special. Gosh, you're not a peculiar people, you're a special people. Why? Because you've been called out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear son. Peculiar means belonging to a nation, a system. Wow. Or other thing. And not to others. I don't belong to the world. I don't belong to the opinion of men. I don't belong there. I don't belong to it anymore. I don't belong to governmental control. You might. I don't belong to it anymore. I've chosen not to. I'm peculiar. I'm a child of God. I'm a soldier in the kingdom of God. I'm a peculiar person. There's the Holy Spirit again. Hear it? It says that as a noun, it's exclusive property to be peculiar. That which belongs to a person in exclusion of all others. Are you peculiar today? Huh? Are you being manipulated by the Holy Spirit? Or are you being manipulated by the spirit of men? Do the spirit of men manipulate you? Get you to do things you don't really want to do and go places you don't really want to go? Are you exclusive property of the Lord? It says in the canon law, a particular parish or church which has the probate of wills within itself exempt from the jurisdiction of the ordinary or bishop's court. If you are a peculiar person, you are above, you better understand this, you are above all earthly realms. If you're peculiar, you belong to a different kingdom. Court of Particulars in England is a branch of Court of Arches. It has jurisdiction over all the parishes dispersed through the province of Canterbury in the midst of other dioceses, which are exempt from ordinary jurisdiction. Hey, I'm exempt from ordinary jurisdiction. This world has no hold on me. Wow, this is so deep, man. This is so deep. Peculiar people, a royal priesthood. Go back to that again, Mike. Go back to that in 1 Peter. Man, if we could get a revelation of that, huh? Slide back. That wasn't about 10. Where was it, Mike? About 10. You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. Isn't that what Webster just explained to us? It's us. Why are we so influenced by the ungodly, the unrighteous? Why do the opinions of supposed learned men impact us so much? Why do we let a guy like Fauci control us? Or better yet, perhaps you're not being controlled by Fauci because you're peculiar. You're under another jurisdiction. All right, I got that out of me. That's pretty good, isn't it? Not only is that pretty good, that's pretty deep. Pretty deep. Now, here's the truth. You can walk under and in that jurisdictional power, or you can choose not to use it. Choice is yours. There is no earthly power above that jurisdictional authority that God's given you as a chosen generation, royal priesthood, holy nation, peculiar people. None. There is nothing above that authority. All we have to do is walk in it and apply it. And for the most part, the church refuses to do it. In fact, the church uses it as an excuse. The church says, well, we're not of this world. Well, yes, you are. You're in it. You certainly are in it. You have the ability to impact it. You've been called out of darkness into this marvel of light and left here. You're here. You've been called out of darkness into marvelous light and have been planted right here in the midst of all this darkness. It's kind of,
hey, Coach.
Yeah, Paul.
Would you say Jesus is a segregationist?
I'm glad you said that. I'd say he's a segregationist. I would say he's not inclusive. Be honest with you. See, everything the world does mimics the truth. Hey, Paul, listen, I'm going to tell you that this is just the truth. If I were to get in a, if I were to have, go get a picture taken with an average NBA team, and there would be a pick of any five great NBA players, and I'm there getting a picture with them, I'm going to look like I'm about 2 foot tall. And anybody who would say, well, which one's Coach? Well, everyone would use the same declaration, right? Well, he's the short one. He's the short guy, right? And so we use physical characteristics as identifiers. That's all they are. There's Paul. He's black. What does that have to do with it? Nothing to do with it. That's an identifier, right? And we make those identifiers who we are. Those physical identifiers become who we are. And I couldn't be any happier that. The world doesn't understand me. I couldn't be any happier. They shouldn't. I'm peculiar, man.
Dave?
Yeah.
I've adopted the word that I'm ornery. Uh-huh. I'm ornery. I like the word ornery, or I've said that on my tombstone. I would like the words, he was unmanageable.
Amen. We should be. See, listen, Roger, unmanageable by a worldly system, right? Should the worldly system be able to manage
spiritual believers? That's too many words for the old tombstone. I figure unmanageable leaves it wide open, but I agree with you. If I have more money, I'll type more on my tombstone.
I'm going to do something here now. Hang on. Bear with me a second. Keep talking. Somebody keep talking. I'm trying to do something. Come on. Somebody come on in here. Somebody's got a revelation. Whenever I bring something like that to the table, I know it hits other people deeply.
I got one, Coach. Real quick. All the slaves sold were pale skinned. So the problem is, it's the entire sleight of hand behind the slave trade and the race war. It's a sleight of hand.
Right. It is. And see, we shouldn't buy into it.
Absolutely not.
Right? Why? Because we're peculiar people. We're peculiar people. I'm calling my wife. She'll pick it up because it's like the Holy Spirit. She'll recognize her ring.
Did you mean to call me?
I did, sweetheart. You are live across the world now on Coach Dave Live. And I wanted to prove this, that I wasn't making this up. Roger Weaver was just talking about tombstone.
And
what he would put on his tombstone. So just as a witness here, we're probably getting feedback in your phone. Hey, Michelle, what are you going to put on my tombstone?
Here lies a dangerous man.
Amen, Michelle.
Huh?
Amen. I like that one.
I've already told her. That's what I want on my tombstone. Here lies a dangerous man. Dangerous to a worldly, ungodly, devilish system. I'm a dangerous man. God. Those goosebumps went up.
I always like black dicks and not yours.
What's that? Oh, that's probably somebody piping in here. Is that what it is? See, if Was that one of those? Was that one of those homos piping in? They're cowards, most of them. Very, very cowardly.
You are cowards.
Yeah, they are. They are puke and runs. They're drive-by pukers. They're just little weenie weenie men. Sorry. Hey, I can tell you this. They're peculiar. Not in a good way, dude. You ain't peculiar in a good way. I can promise you that. All right, I'll shift gears. That's pretty good, wasn't it? I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm not ashamed of it. My desire to speak the truth is not impacted by whether or not you approve.
Your wife likes big black dick. He doesn't like your small penis.
See, there you go. These perverts. That's all they know. How. Hey, folks.
Get you, stupid.
Don't get upset. That's all they know how to do. That's all they know how to do. Right? So that guy's whole day has been about coming in and talking about penises, dicks, right? Does that show you where his mind is? Yep.
It took him a week to think of something like that, Coach, because they can't think for themselves. That's all they can do is throw out a one-liner. You can't have an intelligent conversation with an unintelligent person.
That's right. He doesn't know. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Don't get sidetracked. Don't let him control the show.
Right? Yeah, thank you, Chad. I'm not going to get sidetracked.
It's just like somebody throwing out the word racist. And probably these guys are sitting in their mother's basement in their underwear eating cold pizza. Got nothing better to do with their time. So
amen, but amen. Amen. So let me keep rolling because I'm kind of on a roll here real quick, okay? Let me go here real quick. I gotta find where did I put it, Mike. I know I did. Hey, Mike, go do 2 Thessalonians 2. 2 Thessalonians.
While you're going there, we don't cast pearls before swine, so that's what you get.
Well, they don't even recognize it as a pearl. That's why you don't cast it before them. They don't even recognize it as what it is. I don't want to get too deep into this today, but 2 Thessalonians 2. I'm sorry I didn't send it to you, Mike. Mike's pulling it up. I want to read you down through this. Verse 3. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. People say this is the Antichrist. I don't know whether it's an Antichrist. I don't know whether it's a spirit. It doesn't even matter to me, okay? Is it an actual man? Maybe. I don't know. I'm not going to argue with you on it. But it says, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, a man of be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he, as God, sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. That's where the American church is. It's where America is, with different gods. Remember ye not that when I was with you, I warned you about this? Paul said, remember, I told you it's going to happen? And now you know. What withholdeth that he might be revealed in his time? Watch. For the mystery of iniquity is already working, boys and girls. That Antichrist spirit was a work back in the time of, he's writing to the Thessalonians. It's already at work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. The restraining of the Holy Spirit. This spirit's been alive and well and working throughout the eons of time. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the workings of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders, with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perished, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. Look, folks, you'll miss this. This is the judgment of God, that they receive not the love of the truth. And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness, and then that perish because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. Now watch the connecting, and connects to what we just read. And for this cause, what cause? What cause? And for this cause, what cause? They receive not the love of the truth. Because they didn't receive the love of the truth, God sends them strong delusion they should believe a lie. Hey, folks, it's not the lie that's the problem. It's the believing of the lie. Why? That they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. You know what's crept into the church? Pleasure in unrighteousness. We take pleasure in it. We don't reject it. We don't fight against it. We accept it. We tolerate it. I'm just trying to give you a spiritual foundation for why I'm peculiar and why you should be as well. That you are marching, as they say, to a different drum. You are part of a different kingdom. And you should not be surprised when the lost world thinks you're a fool. Kamala Harris. Is full bore on the murder of unborn babies. How could any right-thinking human being vote for another person who wants to kill other human beings without a strong delusion? How could any thinking Christian see the killing of an unborn baby as a choice? Wait a minute, an acceptable choice, a normal choice.
Well, Dave, how can a nation be blessed of God who might actually put these people into power? And if not, 47 or 48% of the nation's people would support them. Right. That tells you about the nation.
This is a strong delusion, Raj. A strong delusion. Okay. See, if all the believers just voted truth, this, we wouldn't be in this mess. Go, Alan.
Yeah, you know she claims to be a Baptist, don't you?
I didn't know, but I really don't care what she claims to be.
Oh yeah, no, it's sickening, Coach. Sickening.
She isn't peculiar. We know that, right? She isn't peculiar. You do know that she was the one who tried to put David Dalyden in jail when he exposed the Planned Parenthood, right? You guys know that, right? So if we can't understand that the other side is a beast system, Mike, that led me into this. Hey, Mike, the second thing, pull up Melania. Now, folks, this was June 9th, I think it said. June 9th, minute 46 seconds. And imagine that she-man, Michelle Obama. Imagine her doing that. Hey, how about this? Let me ask you, when did... Barbara Bush do this. When did Laura Bush
carry number 281-5293?
Can you sign it?
On November 26, 19.
Right. So imagine if you can, Christians opposing this. Now wait a minute. See, Christians oppose this because there's a strong delusion. The Christians have rejected the truth. They cannot see how dark the up, and play this, Mike. It's a minute, 26 seconds. Imagine Michelle Obama, Barbara Bush, George Bush, Heather Bush, Painted Bush, any Bush, conservative Bushes, Nancy Reagan, who had mind readers coming into the White House, right? Huh? Yeah. Imagine Melania Trump. Go ahead.
National Day of Prayer. We are confronted with the challenges of an invisible enemy, one that can only be defeated through unity and our nation's strength, love, and devotion to each other. All through history, Americans have unified in challenging moments, and during our greatest times of need, we always turn to prayer. Today, I want to ask all of you to unite and
2-8-1-5-2-9-3-2-0
on the front lines of the coronavirus pandemic and provide comfort to those who have lost loved ones. In these uncertain times, I know it is hard not to gather in your places of worship, but we must keep our faith in God and pray for the courage and knowledge that better days are ahead of us. We will soon return to work and send our children back to school again, We will return to our places of worship, reunite with loved ones, attend sporting events, and gather with friends to share some laughter. Our dear citizens, through prayer and faith, we will get through this together. I am so proud of the way all of you have responded to this crisis. When we reach out to our Lord, let us remember, I can do everything through Him who gives me strength. God bless you.
November 26, 1952, Social Security number is.
Amazing, huh? Amazing.
Beautiful.
Now, folks, I'd vote for Trump just because of that. Just because of that.
You wonder, Dave, if God's wrath is being withheld because of a Donald Trump. Can you believe it?
Can you believe it?
Melania Trump.
Do you think she's phony? You guys think
withhold the wrath of God?
Do you think Melania Trump is praying? You think she is? I think she prays. I do. Think Michelle Obama did? Maybe. Which one would you trust? Think Joe Biden, Kamala Harris? Think Kamala Harris is, come on, huh?
Hey, Coach.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I think Joe Biden, Michelle Obama, and some of them pray. It's just a matter of who are they praying to.
Sure. Well, we know they are, right? We know they're calling on some type of higher power. What would that higher power be? Let me stop for a minute because I got 20 minutes. I got 20 minutes, and I got some place to go, but I just want to pause right there and see if somebody wants to come in.
Yeah, this is Glenn.
Hey, Glenn.
In a recent podcast, Lance Wallnau talked about this guy who did some he had some software and he produced some polls, and he came to the conclusion that 40% of Christians weren't even registered to vote. So he wanted to get it out to all the pastors. The problem is that the pastors, they'll maybe get people registered to vote, but they don't really talk about the issues because they're apolitical. And that's the problem. So you talk about lack of knowledge, it's because the pastors won't distinguish, you know, the issues.
Amen. They won't take a side, you mean, Glenn? They won't take a side.
Exactly.
That's right.
Yep, they won't take a side.
I was going to say, too, see, a lot of people, they don't register to vote. You know why? Because they don't want to go to jury duty.
Unbelievable.
They don't want to be inconvenienced with the system, have to go there and go through the process and all that. So guess what? The good people are not getting on the jury. Some of those good people are not going to get on those juries. So then you're not going to vote. So we wonder why we end up in these situations. Because, we love ourselves. We don't want to be inconvenienced.
That's what
it comes down to.
We don't want the pressure of having to decide somebody's guilt or innocence, Chad. We don't have to do that. Oh, boy. Come on, somebody else. Peculiar. So I want to hear from some peculiar person out there. No?
Hey, Coach.
Yep.
Yeah, I got something else here. You know, when I woke up this morning, one of the things that was impressed on my mind, the Lord was reminding me, is it's one thing to take a bullet for Christ, but it's another thing to live for Him.
Yeah. Yeah. That's true. I mean, if you take a bullet for Christ, you're out of here, right? It's done. It's out of here. See, it's all delusions. It's all lies. Go ahead, Jack.
Isn't there such a thing as righteous judgment? When you judge righteous?
Supposed to be.
Supposed to be, yeah. What's
so
the standard?
So, Jack, right now, Kamala Harris isn't African American. Guys, you know that, right? They're selling her to you as an African American. It's all lies. Everything is lies. Kamala Harris, her mother was from, oh, I always get it wrong.
India.
Thank you. India. And her dad is from Jamaica. Now, as far as I know, Jamaica ain't in Africa and India ain't in Africa. Well, it's all lies, right? It's all lies.
I think she's married to one of those nasty white guys.
Yes, she is. She's married to one of those nasty white guys, for sure, right? But yet they're going to sell us her as an African-American woman. So see how the game's played? Everything about them is fake. Did you know this? Did you know she's not eligible to be president of the United States? Did you know that? She's not natural born. Did you know to be natural born, when Kamala Harris was born, neither one of her parents were citizens. In order to be natural born, go back to Obama, natural born, both parents have to be natural born citizens in order for you to be able to be president of the United States. It's clear in the Constitution. Right, Jack?
Hey, Coach. Okay. So that also excludes Rubio and Cruz.
That's right.
But we don't want to do that. We don't want to do that because it impacts us. We don't want to hold to the letter of the law because we want to be able to manipulate it on our side.
Amen. Amen. So it's all phony. It's all phony. It's all fake. Biden's fake. Biden's elected. Yep. He wouldn't be president. He wouldn't be president. Somebody behind the scenes would be pulling the strings. Go to my Facebook page real quick, Mike. I want to show something. Just kind of crap her up against. I got off the real spiritual trail there a couple minutes ago. I'll get back to it here. This is some stuff all matters, folks. It all matters, in my opinion. It all matters. Mike's got to log on to me. I want to show you something. I posted something yesterday. I'm sorry. That's so hard to get in there. Don't worry about it, man. It isn't that important. So it's a strong delusion. What is a strong delusion? We believe lies. That is the strong delusion, that we no longer believe the truth. That we believe that a man can be having sex with a man and be welcome in the congregation of the saints. That's what we believe. We believe a woman can be a practicing homosexual and can be a minister. That's a strong delusion that we would believe something like that, friends. Right? Mike found it. Go on down, Mike. I want to show you something here. Right here. Stay right there. I posted this yesterday, and Facebook shadow bans it, right? You want to know why? Well, it's false information. It's checked by independent fact checkers. Well, Mike, click on that and see why. See why they had to shadow ban it. They had to know Kamala Harris didn't vow vengeance against Trump backers. What? Who said she vowed vengeance? I simply put up a quote from Kamala Harris. Now, Mike, close that. They banned it because it said she didn't vow vengeance. Well, she did say, and once Trump's gone and we have regained our rightful place in the White House, look out if you supported him and endorsed his actions, because we'll be coming for you next. You will feel the vengeance of a nation. No stone will be left unturned as we seek you out in every corner of this great nation, for it is you who have betrayed us. So even Facebook lies in what they said I posted. Strong delusion. Lies everywhere. It's how the enemy has always operated. Yet we are the first generation, probably because of Facebook and Twitter and Twatter and Twitter and all that stuff. We cannot recognize the truth anymore. We can't recognize it. And sometimes I go on Facebook and I see people who I respect make the dumbest statements. Pastors, Max Lucado, he endorsed Black Lives Matter. That Christians,
yep.
white men need to repent for slavery. Strong delusion. How's it happen, folks? How's it happen? Hey, I'm treading water right now. I'm ready to go to another topic.
Well, Coach, because we are under the judgment of God, there's no doubt about it. God has turned us over to our own stupidity, and we're seeing the fruit thereof is because we would be so stupid in our mind to think that a baby inside of a mother being woven by God is a clump of cells. Mm-hmm. And brother, when we do these things and have done these things and relentlessly resisted God, then God has turned us over to a reprobate mind. And that's what that stuff is. It is a reprobated mind.
Hey, Mike, go to Mr. Webster. See what he says reprobate means. I think we did that the other day. Quite startling, actually. Reprobate. Not enduring proof or trial. Not of standard purity or fineness. Disallowed, rejected, abandoned in sin. Lost to virtue or grace. They profess they know God, but in works they deny him. Being abominable and disobedient and to every good work, reprobate. Reprobate means abandoned to error or apostasy. To disapprove with detestation or marks of extreme dislike, to disallow, to reject. It expresses more than disapproval or disallow. We disapprove of slight faults and improprieties. We reprobate what is mean or criminal. In a mild sense, it is to disallow, to abandon to wickedness and eternal destruction, to abandon to his sentence without hope of pardon. Drive him out to reprobated exile.
Isn't this what we're seeing in the streets? Is this, I mean, brother, Webster, you'd have thought Webster was watching the news and then he just made the definition for it. This is what we're seeing. When we get people that refuse to engage in any conversation and they just want to do their incantations and chants, BLM, it shows you the depravity of what we have become and we're seeing in the streets.
Dale, all of it, much of it, again, with approval of the church. The church is embracing this apostasy. The church is.
Numbers 31 says it clearly, by saying nothing, brother, we have given hearty approval to it.
Mm-hmm. Hey, folks, listen to me. Zoom in on me, Mike. Oh, you can't. That's right. Homosex. I don't even know a word for it. Certainly not normal. The Bible called it abominable. Mike, that's a good Webster word. Abominable. Yet, we permit it to be taught to our children. Right? Abominable. What's abominable, Mike? Very hateful. Detestable. Loathsome. This word is applicable to whatever is odious to the mind or offense to the senses. Unclean. God called sodomy an abomination. And Christians won't speak out against it. In fact, they lose their job if they mention sodomy, right, Mike? You lose your job. Mike, you're criticized by the church for being hateful if you simply use American terminologies. This is an American English language word quoted directly from the Holy Scriptures. Abominable. It's abominable. Mike, here's a good word search for you. Google real quick how many times the word abominable is used in the Bible. See if you can find that real quick. Bible says it. I believe it. That settles it. You know, how many times is something called abominable in the Bible? There's 84, I see, Mike, going down. 84 Bible verses about an abomination. Click on that. Abominations. There's 84 scriptures. What was abomination?
A ton of them are in Luke. A ton of them are in Leviticus.
Yeah. We hate that one. Got to get rid of Leviticus, right? Luke, Daniel, Revelation, Deuteronomy, abominable. It was a word. The Lord chose the word. And then we choose not to use the word. We choose to accept. That's Romans 1:28. Not only do we, not only do they do such thing, but we give hearty approval to those who do them. We accept abominations. Hey, what does that say, Mike? You shall not round off the side growth of your heads, nor harm the edges of your beard. That's Leviticus. Proverbs, a false balance, a false balance. Hey, hey! Interest is an abomination to the Lord.
What does Webster say about the meaning of abominable?
We were there, weren't we, Mike? Abominable, very hateful, detestable, loathsome. My friends, is anything abominable to the Lord? I'm sorry. Is anything abominable to the church anymore other than judging sinners? That's abominable. You don't judge sinners. Is anything abominable to us? Oh, boy. Hey, Mike, let's finish with this. Go to Galatians 5, I think it is. All right, anyway, it's the first one, Mike. You ought to be able, just be able to click on it. And ask yourself if this is not where we find ourselves. And for the life of me, I can't understand why those of us who don't do some of these things, why we are ashamed. Why are we ashamed? Scroll down quite a bit, Mike. yeah. Okay, there you are, Mike. But if you be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now, the works of the flesh are manifest. Manifest means they appear. You see them, right? And here they are. And tell me if you see the works of the flesh in our society today. And how many of these works of the flesh are openly opposed by the church? Adultery, it's sort of opposed. Although you can be shacking up and go to church. Fornication, same one. Uncleanness, what do you suppose that would be? I don't think it means dirty hands. Lasciviousness. We need Webster, Mike. Idolatry, witchcraft. Mike's gonna look it up for us. Lasciviousness. It's a form of lawlessness. Lascivious. There it is, Mike. Down there. Looseness. Irregular indulgence of animal desires. Tendency to excite lust and promote irregular indulgences. Hey, Jeff, would homosex be an irregular indulgence, you think? We ordain them. We ordain them. Strong delusions have been sent to us. Let's go back, Mike, real quick. Back to my wife. You know what my wife's going to say to me? Hey, boy, that wasn't very encouraging this morning. It's not encouraging. Folks, I'm trying to bring the truth. I'm not trying to encourage you. I'd like to. Idolatry, witchcraft. Hatred, variance, we don't even know what that is. Emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, should be revilings, I think. I don't know. And such like. In other words, some more they haven't even mentioned. There's some more going on. And such like. He cut the list off. He ran out of ink. That which I tell you before, as I've also told you in the past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. So here we see two kingdoms, right? I'm not talking about heaven and hell. What's the kingdom of God? Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. They're not going to be able to inherit that. They're doing that stuff, right? But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, goodness, kindness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. That's what's out there, isn't it? And because I'm not an envier or a murderer or a drunken, I'm peculiar. I'm different. I'm the fool. I'm the religious fanatic. You're the crazy one. You're the unhinged one. Somebody help me wrap this up. I don't even know where I am. I just know this is all truth. Somebody help me bring this thing to a close here.
Coach?
Yep.
I think we just need to go back to where you started, and that's being able to hear our phone ring, hear our spiritual phone ring, so we can get through this and wade through this muck that the Bible says to stay away from.
I think of the disciples, you know, the men that we are to model quite a bit of. I think of what the disciples went through. None of them were liked, you know. None of them, they were unmanageable. They were peculiar. None of us want to even, we don't even want to look like them anymore. We want to look, I don't know who we want to look like in the Bible, but it's certainly not the disciples.
No, it certainly isn't. It certainly isn't. And, you know, what just dawned on me, I don't know if it was from the Holy Spirit or not. When you guys send a text and somebody sends a text to me, it's like they're calling 911. When the Holy Spirit sends me a text, he's dialing 911. Somebody go help. Somebody go help.
Amen. Amen.
Peculiar. I'm proud to be peculiar. Proud of it. Not ashamed of it. Not ashamed of it. Listen, hey, that guy's been calling in. Folks, any of you, we could all fall into sin like that tomorrow. Hey, folks, it takes nothing to do sin. Sin is the easiest thing in the world to do.
Coach, that guy calling in needs prayer, and he's calling in for a reason. He's not calling in to cause harm. He's reaching out.
Sure is.
Who would spend this time unless they wanted a piece of what you're dishing out?
Yeah. I prayed for Mark the second he said what he said because of Michelle. I immediately prayed for him, but it wasn't that kind of a prayer. It was a precatory prayer.
Mm-hmm.
And it's biblical. That's all I can say, brother. There's a point where I draw a line when the foulness comes like that and it comes after a man's wife, man, my precatory prayer is sometimes the Lord's not nice about how he does stuff.
Well, was he hiding in a tree branch watching Jesus go by?
Probably was.
From a tree. Yep. You see what I mean?
Well, we know this, Mark. He needs the Lord, right? He can laugh all he wants. We know he needs the Lord. We know that.
What Jesus did, he took him down from a tree.
Yep. He went and had lunch with him, didn't he?
He wasn't up there saying the stuff he was saying against somebody's wife.
That's true. You're right, Dale. You're right.
Yeah.
He's from Franklin, Ohio, whoever he is.
Yeah. Well, he can only wish to have a wife like Michelle. He probably has a boyfriend.
Amen, Coach, wonderful marriage like you have. That's brother, right. Man. He's envious and he's jealous. That's what it is.
No, probably. He definitely has a boyfriend.
Amen. Hey, listen, real quick. I forgot to jump on this real quick. Mike Heath, when is the event down there in Mayberry? We didn't get that up on the calendar yet. You guys just said we're going to do it in Mayberry on... Oh, talk to your wife. Yeah, September 19th. Thank Polly. So those of you down Mayberry way, we've just put up on the schedule an event in Mayberry on the 19th of September. It's going to be a one-day event. Polly said 12 till 9. We're going to do some potluck. We're going to maybe do a little bit of street ministry. We're going to go run down Barney Fife and Otis the Drunk and do some fellowship time down there. So those of you who are down in that area, love to have you come, man. Love to have you be part of that. We are going to try to redouble our effort. Hey, folks, listen, the next 80-some days are going to be like something we never experienced. Never, ever experienced. What a time to be alive. And are you ready for this? What a time to be a peculiar person called into the kingdom for such a time as this. God bless you all. We'll see you tomorrow.